Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. We hope you've all been having a good Thanksgiving weekend. For fire survivors in Northern California, there's not a lot to be thankful for. President Trump has dashed hopes of any federal aid, and two San Diego congressional members refused to sign a letter asking the president to help fire survivors in California who've lost everything. Hear which ones on today's show. On our Capitol Report, hear why the president's statements about trusting Russian President Vladimir Putin are drawing criticism. Plus, hear about a pharmaceutical executive appointed by the president to head up the Health and Human Services Agency. Locally on our Arts and Music Report, hear about some good news for theater fans thanks to a deal to reopen the East County Performing Arts Center that's being finalized with Live Nation. Santa Ana winds are slated to blow into our region after the holiday weekend, bringing fire weather to our region, and we'll have the tales. In Alpine, Covert Canyon, a controversial paramilitary shooting site surrounded by Cleveland National Forest, has gone into default and may be sold at auction. Hear reactions from environmentalists and an attorney representing neighbors on today's show. On Crime Beat, learn about a theft at Lemon Avenue Elementary School of PTA funds and a new drive to help replace that stolen money. On Green Scene, learn how you can recycle your kitchen fat, oil, and grease to become biofuel. Just think of it as turkey power. We also have a disturbing report on wildlife being decimated by deadly mange outbreaks that are linked to rodent poison. And we'll have tips on how you can control rats or other rodent pests without harming wildlife or pets. A recall has been issued on chicken and turkey salads sold at Trader Joe's, and we'll have details. On Destination East County, hear about festivals and events coming up across our inland region, from a hike up Vulcan Mountain in Julian by the light of a supermoon to holiday festivities that include tree lightings, a sleigh ride, outdoor ice skating, live music, a bonfire, and, of course, visits by Santa Claus. As the holiday shopping season begins, the county is cautioning consumers to check your receipts. Learn why on today's show. A hotel tax to fund helping the homeless may soon be on the ballot in San Diego, and we'll have details. Grossmont Healthcare District has approved grants to help keep people safe during wildfires and other emergencies. Learn more later on today. We'll also have a tip for travelers about runway closures at the San Diego International Airport over the next year. Then, from Public News Service, hear about some national news on the tax plan moving through Congress and how it impacts ordinary Americans. Plus, learn about dangerous toys and a doll that can spy on your children. Find out which former Trump cabinet official may be cooperating with Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. Hear about protests over the president's order removing protections from Haitian refugees. And learn about Native American Heritage Day. The Desert View Tower, one of East County's most iconic roadside landmarks, is up for sale. We took a trip there a couple of years ago, and today we'll be taking a trip down memory lane and re-airing our episode on this memorable landmark. And finally, to help put you in the holiday spirit, we'll end our show with a musical rendition of Sleigh Ride by the U.S. Air Force Band. So stay tuned for all of these stories on the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. Just in time for Thanksgiving, President Donald Trump's White House sent Congress a skimpy disaster relief funding request that includes not one penny for survivors of the worst wildfires in California history, those that ravaged the wine region and other areas of Northern California recently. The measure proposed provides only bare-bones funding for states that suffered hurricane damage. A fact that may disturb all Californians fearful of future wildfires is that a letter sent to Trump asking for $7.4 billion in federal disaster aid for these fire victims was signed by California's governor, Democratic congressional members, and senators. But of our state's 14 Republicans, 13 refused to sign. Those who turned their backs on helping fire survivors in their own state include San Diego Congressman Duncan Hunter and Daryl Issa. KQED News spoke with an aide to Congressman Mike Thompson, a Democrat from St. Helena, who circulated the letter to get help for his devastated constituents. The aide, T.J. Adams Falconer, told KQED that the letter was sent to all congressional Republicans from California and that, with the exception of Orange County's Ed Royce, all refused to sign. Republican political consultant Louise Alvarad claimed Republicans didn't sign because the request included funding for superfluous items such as a desalinization plant. But according to KQED's report, the request actually did not include any desalinization plant. What it did include was a plea for funds to help people rebuild their homes, schools, and businesses, remove hazardous waste after the fire, and help farmers ravaged by the flames. Those fires killed 42 people, burned 8,900 structures, and charred 240,000 acres, the equivalent in size of San Francisco, Sacramento, and several other counties combined. The devastation far surpassed even the Cedar Fire and the 2007 firestorms right here in San Diego County, which until recently were the worst in our state's history. Such a snub of disaster victims is unprecedented in American history, leaving victims of California's worst natural disaster to fend for themselves. No reason for the denial of funding by the president was given. But Mother Jones magazine suggests a political motive. Red states such as Florida and Texas that got hurricane relief funds voted for Trump. Blue California did not. It's a dangerous precedent to base disaster relief on partisan politics, however. It is also a betrayal of the many Republicans and others in California who did vote for Trump, even though the state's Electoral College votes went for his rival, Hillary Clinton. Fire officials warned that a catastrophic fire could strike San Diego again at any time. Fire season here is now year-round. Earlier this month, we had red flag alerts for high fire danger, and over Thanksgiving weekend, the weather has been hot and dry, breaking all-time temperature records. Voters in San Diego's largely conservative East County, who voted for Hunter and Trump, as well as voters in ICE's district, who care about this issue, may wish to contact their representatives. There is still time for Congress to amend the disaster relief package to include funding for those who lost property and lives in Northern California. It's an important precedent to set, because after all, the next firestorm could be in our community. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Gene Carpenter with a Capitol Report. President Donald Trump told reporters on Air Force One that Russian President Vladimir Putin has denied meddling in the U.S. election and that Trump believes Putin, The Hill reports. But now Putin's aide has denied any such conversation took place, and the head of the CIA says Russia definitely did meddle in the 2016 presidential election. The president spoke with Putin privately during an economic summit of Asia-Pacific world leaders in Vietnam. Trump told reporters on Air Force One that he previously asked Putin about Russians' involvement in the election, then added, "I just asked him again. He said he absolutely did not meddle in our election. He does not know what they are saying he did." Trump added, "I can't stand there and argue with him. I would rather have him to get out of Syria." You have President Putin very strongly, vehemently saying, "He has nothing to do with that." Now you are going to get into an argument. You are going to start talking about Syria and the Ukraine. But today, when asked if Putin discussed election meddling with Trump, Putin's press secretary, Dmitry Peskov, told CNN flatly, when asked, "As far as you know, did the two leaders discuss meddling?" The CIA has issued a statement refuting Trump's contention that Russia didn't meddle in the election. It reads, "The director stands by and has always stood by the January 2017 intelligence community assessment entitled Assessing Russian Activities and Intentions in Recent U.S. Elections. The intelligence assessment with regard to Russian election meddling has not changed." That January assessment concluded that Russia did interfere in the 2016 election that put Trump in the White House. Meanwhile, the probe into Russian collusion with the Trump campaign in the election has broadened to include at least one member of Congress, Republican Dana Rohrabacher of California, over his pro-Russian stances and meeting with Trump's former National Security Advisor, General Michael Flynn, The Hill reports. Flynn and his son are under investigation for a deal in which Flynn was to be paid millions of dollars by the Turkish government for the extradition of a Muslim cleric living in the U.S. Flynn failed to register as a foreign lobbyist, an apparent violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Mueller's investigation has led to arrest and multiple serious felony charges against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and campaign official Rick Gates. Those charges include conspiring against the United States with regard to Manafort's representation, among other things, of a former Ukrainian president and Putin protege. George Papadopoulos, a Trump campaign foreign policy advisor, pled guilty to charges including lying to federal prosecutors regarding the Russian probe, court documents indicated. Another 24 sealed cases have been filed in the D.C. federal court, where Mueller brought his indictment since the indictment against Manafort on October 27. But Law News concludes, there are reports that FBI agents have gathered enough evidence to charge former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, and more indictments are forthcoming.
This is Jonathan Getz with the Capitol Report. President Donald Trump has appointed Alex Azar, a pharmaceutical industry executive, to serve as Secretary of Health and Human Services. Azar served as president of Eli Lilly and Company, a drug manufacturer, and has also been on the board of directors of the Biotechnology Industry Organization, a pharmaceutical industry lobbying group. During President George W. Bush's administration, Azar was general counsel and deputy secretary at Health and Human Services, but he continued working for Eli Lilly during his government tenure. Trump tweeted that he views Azar as, quote, a star for better healthcare and lower drug prices. But Azar faced accusations of regularly hiking up drug prices while heading up Eli Lilly. Earlier this year, the company was sued in Massachusetts for allegedly colluding with other drug makers to jack up the price of insulin, a life-saving medication needed by diabetics, the New York Times reports. Lilly has also been a leading opponent of legislation to improve transparency on drug pricing, according to CNN. Azar has been a harsh critic of the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, also known as Obamacare. Brad Woodhouse, director of the Protect Our Care campaign, an Obamacare defense group, blasted Azar's selection, MSNBC reports. Woodhouse says, Mr. Azar, a drug industry lobbyist, has been a harsh critic of the ACA and has gone so far as to say that the law is circling the drain, despite evidence to the contrary, adding, in fact, the ACA is working despite President Trump and his former HHS Secretary Tom Price's repeated efforts to repeal and sabotage it. Open enrollment is off to a strong start, plans remain affordable, and every county in the country is covered. But Susan DeVore, CEO of the premier group of hospitals and healthcare providers, praised Azar's nomination, Healthcare Informatics reports. She says Azar, quote, understands the need to move away from the perverse incentives in the Medicare fee-for-service payment system and to incentivize high-quality care. If Azar's nomination is approved by the Senate, he would replace Tom Price, who stepped down as Health and Human Services Secretary amid revelations that he used costly private planes and government jets instead of commercial airline service to conduct department business. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
The East County Performing Arts Center has been closed for more than 7 years. But now, El Cajon City Manager Doug Williford has announced that negotiations with Live Nation to take over management of the theater have been successful. Live Nation is the largest concert production company in the world, capable of bringing headline acts back to East County and the professional management that the facility has long lacked. The council is expected to review the contract and potentially vote on approving the contract with Live Nation at the December 12th El Cajon City Council meeting. Renovations on the theater would still need to be completed once the deal is approved, with the theater slated to reopen sometime next year. East County Magazine played an important role in helping to save this theater. Shortly after its closure during tough budget times, ostensibly for temporary repairs to the roof and access for the disabled, we learned of a proposal to tear down the theater and sell off the property to a hotel developer. After our report ran, the public organized rallies to save the theater, and the city council voted against the hotel deal. Now, with a new Marriott Hotel under construction on a different site, one block from the East County Performing Arts Center, the city appears ready to soon have its long-cherished theater reopen along with the new hotel, bringing in both revenues and patrons of the arts to El Cajon. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Elevated fire conditions are forecast starting Monday due to extremely hot, dry conditions and Santa Ana winds, the National Weather Service predicts. Already over the Thanksgiving weekend, many places in San Diego County have experienced record-breaking temperatures for the season. Highs reached into the 90s in El Cajon, Ramona, Escondido, and other local communities. Expect strong southwesterly winds in the mountains and deserts, with critical fire weather likely by Tuesday and Wednesday. So please use caution to avoid sparking a brush fire. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
Covert Canyon, a controversial firearms training facility in Alpine, long utilized by military and law enforcement as well as private gun enthusiasts, faces potential foreclosure. CBS 8 reports that a notice of default was filed against owner Mark Halkin on October 26th. If he does not pay $40,000 within 90 days, the property can be foreclosed on and sold at auction. Halkin is also in default on $11,000 in property taxes on the Covert Canyon site owed to the county. In addition, a default notice has been filed on his home and on his American Shooting Center gun store in Kearny Mesa, where he defaulted on lease payments. He is also facing lawsuits for defaulted loans, including a $600,000 collection suit filed by a private investor in El Centro and a $126,000 lawsuit filed by National Funding, a small business loan company. The county shut down commercial operations at Covert Canyon in March 2016, as East County Magazine reported, because Halkin missed a permit deadline to do brush clearing for fire prevention. He was allowed to continue only recreational shooting. The site has long been a source of controversy over its paramilitary activities that in the past included shooting of live pigs for training by military medics, a practice that halted when Covert Canyon obtained permits for its military firearms training in late 2015 over strenuous objections of some neighbors and environmentalists. The property is surrounded by Cleveland National Forest and abuts the property of Clark and Robin Williams. Halkin has faced complaints and a lawsuit filed by attorney Marco Gonzalez on behalf of neighbors and the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, which sought unsuccessfully to overturn final approval of the project by supervisors. An earlier version of his proposal had sought to include urban warfare training and other intense uses. Neighbors previously complained Halkin had targeted them for harassment. The Williamses have claimed, among other things, that they feared having to drive across an easement through Halkin's property to reach their home, that Halkin pepper-sprayed Clark Williams and took his camera, and that a Halkin employee made pumpkins to resemble the Williamses and used them for target practice. They have long contended that the noise from semi-automatic weapons fire disrupted the rural tranquility of their home. Halkin, in an interview with East County Magazine's editor in late 2015 that included a tour of the property, claimed he was the target of misinformation and denied the Williams's claims. Halkin had previously been the target of various county enforcement actions and shutdowns through the years for issues that included unauthorized habitat clearing and filling in a wetlands pond without a permit. We asked Halkin for comment. He said of the Channel 8 story, "Several of these statements are not accurate and or misleading at best. Mr. Gonzalez stated he has spent years on legal pursuits to stop this facility. He neglected to mention that he has lost in every court challenge he pursued against the county and me, including his appeal to the 4th District Appellate Court. The Channel 8 report allowed Mr. Gonzalez to make personal attacks and name-calling journalism. I would hope you not travel down this path. No further comments at this time." Gonzalez, in a statement, indicated he doubts Halkin can pay off the default amount given his other financial debts, adding, "I am hoping that someone who actually appreciates the peace and tranquility of that valley comes in instead of what we have now, which is day after day of large-caliber rifles just obliterating the peaceful nature of it." Duncan McFetrich from Cleveland National Forest Foundation, asked by East County Magazine for comment on Covert Canyon being in default, had this to say. We lost the appeal, but it appears that karma is winning instead and proves Socrates right when he said, "It is better to receive an injustice than to commit one." The owner of Covert Canyon has committed an unending list of injustices against community, against nature, against every code and law in the books by violating the very heart of our forest land, rare and precious wet meadowlands. The environmental leader continued, adding, "He plowed them under and set up heavy weapon-firing ranges and assaulted the fragile tranquility of the meadows with crackle of rapid gunfire." If Halcon doesn't pay off the debts on the property and it does go up for auction, who might seek to buy it? George Barnett, with Backcountry Land Trust, asked if his organization might have interest in acquiring the land, stated that a decade of paramilitary operations would have negatively impacted the environmental value and could require hazardous waste cleanup. Since the property is surrounded by Cleveland National Forest, he suggested perhaps it might be appropriate to see the land acquired as part of the forest. Asked if Cleveland National Forest Foundation would be interested in buying the property to become part of the National Forest should it go up for sale at auction, McFetridge told us, yes, but added that the group would have to hold fundraisers for the purpose. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Valerie Watts.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Gene Carpenter with a Crime Beat report. A thief has stolen $3,000 from the Lemon Avenue Elementary School PTA in La Mesa. The money was raised during the school's Halloween carnival fundraiser and was stolen out of a locked office after the event was over, says Jason Garcia. He started a GoFundMe page titled Lemon Grove Halloween Carnival to help restore the funds. Although new security procedures have been implemented to prevent such a loss in the future, teachers need help now to replace funds intended to help teachers with necessities such as pencils and paper, as well as for the Lemon Grove Garden Project. The carnival was the PTA's main fundraiser of the year. So far, the site has raised about $500 toward the $3,000 goal. If you wish to help, you can donate at GoFundMe.org by putting Lemon Avenue Halloween Carnival into the search bar.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Did you know that your used turkey fat, along with other kitchen oil and greases, can be recycled into biofuel? EDCO encourages all county residents to bring in your used cooking fat, oil, and grease in a leak-proof container to any EDCO buyback station for free and environmentally friendly recycling. The materials will then be processed, filtered, and converted into biofuel by a third-party processor for use to power vehicles. Post-Thanksgiving, think of it as turkey power. Be sure not to mix any other oils, such as motor oil, into your cooking oils. You can find EDCO buyback centers at locations across the county, including La Mesa and Lemon Grove, here in East County. For a list of all EDCO buyback centers and addresses, you can visit edcodisposal.com. That's edcodisposal.com.
Deadly outbreaks of mange in wildlife across California have been linked to poisons meant to kill rats and other rodents. Locally, numerous cases of mange have been reported recently among coyotes in Lakeside, including this month. In Jamul's Deerhorn Valley, the Antler documented bobcats dying of necrotic mange from second-generation anticoagulant rodent poisons as far back as 2012. Antler editor Kim Hamilton told our news editor, "It's a vicious cycle. Unless the predator population is restored to healthy numbers, we'll have these superpopulations of rodents. People will try to control them by setting out poisons, and predator populations will diminish. And the rodents will continue to overpopulate," she said. Sadly, we learned that a family of bobcats that East County Magazine ran photos of have all died of the deadly mange in the Jamul area. Although banned in California in mid-2014 for use by individuals, the second-generation anticoagulant poisons tied to the mange outbreaks can still be applied by licensed pest control operators, and some consumers may still have older products at home. These are also available in Mexico and at some feed stores. If used, they can decimate predators such as hawks, owls, eagles, bobcats, mountain lions, foxes, and coyotes that eat the poisoned rodents. The toxins can also kill pets that ingest tainted rodents. The second-generation anticoagulants take longer to kill rats or other rodents than some other forms of poison, so a rat may feed on the poison multiple times before dying of internal bleeding, and so it's more apt to be consumed by predators. The poison weakens the predator's immune systems, making them more susceptible to mange, a mite-borne illness that causes the animals to lose their fur, develop itchy and scaling skin, and eventually go blind and die, unless the animal is captured and treated. In 2002, the National Park Service found rat poison in nearly every single bobcat in and around the Santa Monica Mountains. The devastation continues despite a 2014 ban on the second-generation anticoagulant poisons. In March 2017, KPPC reported, the National Park Service confirmed a bobcat death in Simi Valley from mange after it consumed rat poison. National Service biologists documenting mange in bobcats in Thousand Oaks found the survival rate for bobcats plummeted from nearly 80% to just 28% after poisons were introduced in the region. Second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides have been documented in over 70% of wildlife tested throughout California, including eagles, hawks, owls, foxes, bobcats, and mountain lions, the Center for Biological Diversity announced in a 2014 press release. In the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area, Park Service scientists discovered that 88% of the 150 bobcats, coyotes, and mountain lions tested were found positive for one or more anticoagulant compounds, and scores of animals were known to have died there from internal bleeding, the National Park Service reported several years ago. Exposure included California's famous cougar in the Santa Monica Mountain area, which was also sickened from the mange. Although the second-generation anticoagulant poisons are now banned for individuals for use in California, some other rodent poisons still on the market may be even worse, experts say. For instance, products containing bromethylene, a neurotoxin that causes swelling around the brain, has no antidote, KPPR reports. Bromethylene is also lethal to dogs, and some have died. By contrast, 90% of dogs poisoned with the banned compounds recovered after treatment. But treating wildlife is much harder, and often impossible, since the animal must be given two treatments, which typically requires trapping and retaining the animal during the course of treatment for the second-generation anticoagulants. There are safer alternatives, and wildlife biologists urge consumers to use those methods instead of poisons. Start by using barriers and exclusions, such as sealing up holes in your home or garage to keep rodents outside. Snap traps can trap and kill smaller rodents for as little as $2 apiece. One variety of squirrel trap baited with sunflower seeds is reportedly effective at catching multiple squirrels in a single cage, the Antler editor reports. Rodent blasters explode underground rodent tunnels with propane and oxygen and can be useful on gophers and ground squirrels that are a problem. Zap traps are battery-operated and kill rats quickly with a jolt of electricity, hiding the carcass inside for easy disposal. Zap traps cost about $50 or more, but they are reusable. The County of San Diego offers free, reusable snap traps inside a box so that larger animals cannot accidentally get caught in the trap. The locking box is also reusable. You can call County Vector Control to get these at 858-694-2888. And finally, don't kill predators such as gopher snakes and coyotes, which will eat those rodents, providing natural critter control. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Valerie Watts with a consumer safety alert. Packaged salads with chicken and turkey have been recalled by Trader Joe's because they may contain pieces of glass or hard plastic. The salads have use-by dates from November 10th through November 21st and the USDA inspected code P40299. Products with different inspected codes are produced in separate facilities and are not impacted by this potential concern, according to a statement issued by the grocery chain. Products were recalled in several states, including California. Those sold in California are white meat chicken and curried white chicken deli salads, as well as turkey cranberry apple salads. If you purchased these products, return them for a full refund or throw them out. If you have any questions, you may call Trader Joe's Customer Relations at 626 599-3817, Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., or contact customer relations through the TraderJoe's.com website.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes holiday hayrides in Santa Isabel, holiday lighting and skating in El Cajon, pomegranate days at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona, and Julian's Country Christmas heralding in the start of the holiday season.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions over the next month, including Lemon Grove's Holiday Bonfire, complete with ice skating and hay rides, Ramona's Holiday Tree Lighting with sleigh rides and carolers, the Spirit of Christmas on Main Street in Lakeside, a hike up Vulcan Mountain during a supermoon, La Mesa's Holiday in the Village, a Christmas cabaret, San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra's holiday concert, and a presentation of Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol, in Julian.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
The Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona invites you to Pomegranate Days on November 24th through the 26th. You can cuddle with camels, feed them apples and pomegranates, watch an exotic bird show and a turkey stampede, shop for camel's milk soaps and lotions, and see the Russell Brothers Family Circus performing magical feats beneath a big top tent. For details on this one-of-a-kind event, you can visit cameldairy.com.
The city of El Cajon invites you to Holiday Lights on Main on November 25th from noon to 7 p.m. in Prescott Promenade, with the lighting of a giant holiday tree at 6 p.m. Activities include ice skating, Santa's Village, carnival rides, live music, food and holiday shopping. For a map and more information, you can visit downtownelcajon.com.
Fort Cross Old-Timey Adventures in Santa Isabel, just outside of Julian, will be offering a holiday hayride activity package on November 25th from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., activities include a holiday hayride with caroling, candle dipping, rustic ornament making, cider pressing, a country hoedown, petting zoo, tomahawk throwing, rope making, a ghost town, slingshot range, hoops and stick relay races, plan racing, nature walks, and a tire swing. For more information, visit fortcross.com.
Christmas comes to Julian every year in an old-fashioned way with a country Christmas tree lighting celebration on Saturday, November 25th, to start the holiday season. Festivities start at 2 p.m. and continue until 7 p.m., including lighting of a giant Christmas tree in Pioneer Park, just one block from Julian's historic town hall. You'll feel a nip in the air, sniff wood fires, and maybe catch a glimpse of snow-capped mountains surrounding the town. The holiday season in Julian also offers an opportunity to shop at small boutiques and craft shows without crowds or lines for one-of-a-kind gifts. After the lighting of the giant tree donated by the Julian Merchants Association, children can also enjoy visits with Santa Claus.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
The city of Lemon Grove will host its 20th annual holiday Light Up the Grove bonfire on December 1st from 12 noon to 8 p.m. The bonfire lighting at 6 p.m. will be preceded by game booths, a rock climbing wall, hay rides, arts and crafts, live music, and skating on an actual ice rink. Free hot chocolate and outreach from the city's nonprofit groups, including the Lemon Grove Historical Society's traditional open house, will be part of the fun. Event hours are extended this year to mark Lemon Grove's 40th anniversary of incorporation. For information, call 619-825-3800 or visit Lemon Grove's website.
Ramona Chamber of Commerce invites you to Ramona's 25th annual Christmas tree lighting. Main Street will come alive on Saturday, December 2nd from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. with sleigh rides, carolers, crafters, a DJ playing music, a classic car display, a Find the Elf contest, and photos with Santa at Ramona's Town Hall. Shops will be open late, and the lighting of the annual Christmas tree will be held in front of the Guy B. Woodward Museum. For details, visit ramonachamber.com.
Lakeside's Chamber of Commerce invites you to celebrate the spirit of Christmas on Main Street in downtown Lakeside December 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. This event features Santa Claus, craft booths, vendors, jumps and rides for kids, performances by local school students, and the lighting of a community Christmas tree. Find details at lakesidechamber.org and at lakesiderodeo.com.
You're invited to hike Vulcan Mountain in Julian for a supermoon viewing on Saturday, December 2nd, from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. A supermoon is a full moon that appears larger and brighter than normal because its orbit is closer than usual to the Earth. Join Ranger Bill on a 7-mile early winter hike. This hike has 1,000 feet of elevation gain, so come prepared. Ranger Bill will tell you all about the geography, flora, and fauna of the area as you head up Vulcan Mountain, reaching the summit right at sunset, and see expansive views of Julian and the desert. Then the light of the silvery supermoon will show the path back down. For more information, visit the Vulcan Mountain Wilderness Preserve website or call 760-765-4098.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa invites you to get in the holiday spirit at a Christmas cabaret showing December 1st through 17th. Lamplighters presents an uplifting showcase of local talent performing seasonal favorites not only from Christmas but many December holidays as well. For tickets and details, visit lamplighterslamesa.com.
The La Mesa Village Association hosts its annual Holiday in the Village celebration on Saturday, December 9th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, December 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Stroll through the streets of La Mesa's historic downtown and enjoy live music and dance, cozy fires, craft vendors, food, and a kids area with holiday movies and activities. For more information, you can visit LaMesaVillageAssociation.org.
On Sunday, December 10th at 3 p.m., the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra will present the Sounds Good Holiday Concert at College Avenue Baptist Church, featuring the Christmas portion of Handel's Beloved Messiah, along with selections of popular holiday music. In addition to the chorus and orchestra, there will also be solo performers. The San Diego Festival Chorus was founded over 15 years ago by Maestro Mostardo and is made up of singers and players from the community who love to make music. The chorus is always happy to welcome new members. You can find more information and tickets for the holiday concert at sandiegofestivalchorus.org.
Julian Theater Company will present Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol. This timeless tale focuses on the miserly Ebenezer Scrooge as he is visited by the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future. Scrooge's clerk, Bob Cratchit, and his impoverished family, including the frail Tiny Tim, face a grim future unless Scrooge can find redemption and discover the true spirit of Christmas. Performances will be held at Julian Town Hall on the weekends of December 8th through the 10th, and again December 15th and 16th. For tickets and details, visit juliantheatercompany.com.
That's all for this week. If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
Thanksgiving is over, and the holiday shopping season has begun. Now the county is reminding shoppers to double-check all receipts to protect you from being overcharged by faulty cash register price scanners. Every year, the county's Department of Agriculture Weights and Measures inspects thousands of local businesses, checking price scanning devices, scales that charge items by weight, and other equipment that set prices to make sure they are charging customers accurately. Last year, one out of every eight businesses inspected, 12.5%, had overcharging errors. The average overcharge was $2.28. By itself, that's not much, about enough to buy a cup of coffee or a box of pasta. But add a few overcharges up, and you can be talking some real cash. So remember to double-check your receipts. Protect against overcharging with these steps. Always verify receipts and immediately notify store management of any price discrepancies. Stores are required to display the price of an item as you are buying it before the transaction is complete. Watch the display screen as your items are scanned. Take sales advertisements with you when shopping to verify prices. Stores cannot legally charge more than their lowest advertised, posted, or quoted price. Here are some more tips to help you shop smart and safely this holiday season. Plan ahead. Watch for store sale flyers, yard sales, and clearance sales. Make a list of what you need. Check product ratings online and comparison shop several places for the best values. Don't buy everything at once. Create a spending plan and a timetable to buy what you need over several weeks or months to take full advantage of future sales and bargains. To report overcharges that you can't resolve with a store, call County Agriculture Weights and Measures at 1-888-TRUE-SCAN. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
The Grossmont Healthcare District has donated a grant of over $116,000 to the San Diego Regional Fire and Emergency Services Foundation for mobile data computers. These computers will provide address and mapping information to first responders during medical emergencies and brush fires in rural backcountry areas. Grossmont's grant will equip 26 fire engines and rescue vehicles with the mapping information, including dirt roads and safety hazards. The fire engines and rescue vehicles are stationed at 13 fire rural stations, including Boulevard, Campo, Deerhorn Valley, Descanso, Dulzora, Harbison Canyon, Hacumba, Jamul, Lake Moreno, Lyons Valley, Mount Laguna, Pine Valley, and Potrero. Grossmont Healthcare District Board President Michael Emerson says, "We're proud to support the efforts of the Fire Foundation and help first responders reduce response times and strengthen the system of fire and emergency services to our district residents." Gloria Chadwick, chair of the Grants Committee, notes that timing is critical in treating a person who has suffered a serious health issue, adding, "Seconds matter and can affect the patient's survivability and quality of their recovery." Grossmont's grant will enable first responders to get to the scene of an emergency more quickly. Rural fire departments serve more than 60% of San Diego County and respond to more than 6,000 emergencies annually. More than 80% of these emergency calls are medical-related. But Frank Ault, chairman of the Fire Foundation, says first responders in rural areas don't have access to maps or data once they leave the fire station, which can cause critical delays in getting to the scene of an emergency on unmarked backcountry roads. He adds, "We're grateful for the support of the Grossmont Healthcare District to help improve the system of fire and emergency services in San Diego County." CAL FIRE San Diego County Fire Chief Tony Meacham says that in addition to bringing medical aid faster to patients in rural areas, the new computers will also help firefighters stop fires when they are small. He adds, "Quickly controlling fires can help avoid the firestorms like we experienced 10 years ago in San Diego or most recently in Northern California." Grossmont Healthcare District has supported the Fire Foundation with grants since 1998. Founded in 1989, the nonprofit Fire Foundation has provided over $5 million in equipment and training to county fire agencies to improve fire and emergency services. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Valerie Watts.
Visitors who stay at San Diego hotels may soon be helping to fund housing for the homeless. If a proposed ballot measure to increase the city's hotel room tax qualifies for the ballot and wins approval from voters. The plan is proposed by Councilman David Alvarez. It will be heard at a Rules Committee meeting, opening the door for City Council, who could ultimately approve putting it on the ballot without the need to gather signatures from the public. The hotel room tax hike, proposed amid a hepatitis outbreak that's largely impacted homeless populations, would stay in effect for 20 years. Alvarez states, the city has an obligation to ensure certain levels of public safety and health by not only preventing the current crisis from growing, but also by taking meaningful steps to proactively curb the number of individuals and families living on the streets. The funds would be used to provide supportive housing for the homeless, a model that not only gives the homeless a place to live, but also provides mental health and substance abuse programs, health care, and job counseling. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
This is John Fistier with a tip for travelers. If you're planning to travel out of the San Diego International Airport during next year, you may want to avoid late-night flights. The runway is being torn up nightly to repave it a section at a time, and so it will be closed each night from midnight to 5 a.m. Although flights running on time shouldn't be affected, if a flight is late, it will be diverted to another airport, such as LAX in Los Angeles, or a smaller airport, causing inconvenience to travelers. The runway work began November 1st, and already a British Airways flight has been diverted, the San Diego Union-Tribune reported. The airline already has a curfew banning departures from 11:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m., so incoming flights are where delays, if they occur, would be most apt to happen, since in the past, landings were allowed at all hours. Air carriers are reportedly adjusting their schedules to avoid the closures. Upgrades to the 9,400-foot-long runway include energy-saving lighting, as well as new asphalt, and in the heaviest traffic sections, concrete. The total cost of $16.7 million is funded by the San Diego County Airport Authority.
You're listening to KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, November the 24th, 2017. I'm Mike Clifford. On today's rundown, all eyes on the GOP tax plan. Labor groups say it's not good for working families, and the view for Michigan is the likely loss of many services across the state. Plus, today is Native American Heritage Day. We'll have a report from Nebraska. Now our top story, the U.S. Senate could vote on its version of the GOP tax bill as early as next week, but labor groups are among those not convinced the plan is in the best interest of working families. We have two reports and begin with Eric Galatis.
Dennis Doherty with the Colorado AFL-CIO says the wealthiest 1% of Americans would get 80% of the proposed tax benefits. Citing analysis from the Nonpartisan Joint Committee on Taxation, Doherty says workers who earn less than $75,000 a year will see their taxes go up.
So the Congressional Republican tax plan will make hardworking Coloradans pay for a massive tax giveaway for big business at a time that corporations are posting record profits. That's totally backward.
He says if the Senate's bill matches the one passed by the House, 415,000 Colorado taxpayers, the bottom 80% of earners, will end up paying more in taxes when the plan is fully phased in. Proponents of the plan have claimed that by cutting taxes on corporations and the wealthy, that money will make its way to workers through increased wages.
As many across the state begin their holiday shopping this weekend, analysts are warning that the Republican tax bill is no gift to Michiganders, particularly those most in need. According to the Michigan League for Public Policy, under both the plan that passed the U.S. House last week and the bill set to be discussed in the Senate next week, the wealthiest 1% of Michiganders will benefit the most. Furthermore, the League's Rachel Richards says the Senate plan, which includes a repeal of the individual health care mandate, would result in nearly 400,000 people statewide losing their health care.
We anticipate premiums on the marketplace to rise by about $1,520 for a family of four, and we would likely see cuts to Medicare nearing $1 billion in order to pay for these changes.
Analysts expect either plan would raise the deficit by as much as $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. For Public News Service, I'm Mona Shand.
The New York Times reports lawyers for Michael Flynn, President Trump's former national security advisor, notified the president's legal team in recent days they could no longer discuss the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. The Times says their report is according to four people involved in the case, and they say it's an indication that Mr. Flynn is cooperating with prosecutors or negotiating a deal. Immigrants, advocates, and elected leaders held vigils this week to protest the end of temporary protected status for thousands of Haitian refugees.
There are some 59,000 Haitians living and working in the United States who fled the destruction of their country by the massive 2010 earthquake. Natalia Aristizabal with Make the Road New York says those refugees cannot return home because Haiti still has not recovered from the devastation.
The Haitian community was taken in as refuge, and they don't have a country that's stable enough to welcome them back. And also, we're not talking about a few. We're talking about like over 50,000, and that's a lot of people.
The Trump administration says the number of displaced persons in Haiti has declined significantly since the earthquake. It's giving the refugees until July 2019 to leave before facing deportation. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Today, of course, is Black Friday, and then comes Cyber Monday. Stephanie Carson says you may want to take time to read labels and carefully consider toys you buy for the children in your life.
The U.S. Public Interest Research Group released its Trouble in Toyland report this week, and while concerns over small parts and lead place toys on the list, technology provides a new concern. The doll My Friend Kayla is on the list. It has Bluetooth capability that NC Perg's Kristen Carver says is cause for concern.
Your child can ask it questions and it talks back to you. It has an unsecured Bluetooth connection. Anybody could really access it and could potentially listen in on things that are going on in your home.
The FBI recently issued a warning against toys that include unsecured technology, and the doll is banned in Germany. The company has insisted in public statements the doll is safe. Perg also found high amounts of lead and fidget spinners sold at Target. The retailer has since removed those from the shelves.
And today is Native American Heritage Day. Mary Sherman says that goes along with November being Native American Heritage Month.
The executive director of Humanities Nebraska, Chris Summerich, hopes the observance helps folks to realize there are people who have been living on the plains for thousands of years, much longer than those who immigrated here from other countries. He adds that Native Americans are not just an element of our history, but part of who we are today.
There's still vibrant culture and groups of Native Americans in Nebraska that are thriving and that are there among everyone else. It's not just some element of our history. This is part of who we are today and part of our shared identity as Nebraskans.
There are four federally recognized tribes in Nebraska: the Omaha Tribe, Santee Sioux Nation, the Ponca Tribe, and the Winnebago Tribe. And more than 10,000 Native Americans are estimated to live on Nebraska's reservations.
There has been some criticism that Native American Heritage Day observance is held on the same day as Black Friday, noting that it's a day of consumerism and materialism that runs contrary to the values of indigenous people. That's our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
The Desert View Tower in Hecumbah, one of East County's most iconic landmarks, is up for sale for $1.25 million. Because owner Ben Schultz wants to retire. The site includes the tower, a popular tourist site, three small homes, a yoga retreat, outdoor concert venue, and about 40 boulder carvings of animals and other objects. Now, a couple of years ago, we took a trip out to the Desert View Tower, and we thought now would be a good time to take a trip down memory lane and replay our On the Road in East County segment at the Desert View Tower in Hecumbah. And you may want to go see it while you still can.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Hayden Parsley, on the road in Hecumbah Hot Springs for East County Magazine. You can take a trip into California's past at the Desert View Tower, a quirky and whimsical relic of the past that is still open to the public here in San Diego's East County. Located just off Interstate 8 at the Incapa exit, the tower is poised on a rocky overlook surrounded by desert on all sides. Built in the 1920s by Bert Vaughn, a real estate tycoon who owned much of Hakumba, this 70-foot watchtower has become a tourist attraction and a local landmark on the outskirts of the small town known as Hakumba Hot Springs. Originally built to commemorate the area's rough pre-highway history, the tower houses a small museum filled with artifacts and oddities of California's history, including our region's Native American, Spanish, and pioneer past. The top floor of the tower is an observation deck, with a coin-fed telescope that provides a breathtaking view of Imperial Valley and the Anza Borrego Desert, though now somewhat marred by a wind farm. In 1950, a gift shop was added around the base of the tower. The shop still operates today and is filled with an eclectic mix of items such as geodes, gems and minerals, vintage postcards, historic and travel books on our region, arts and crafts items such as handmade Tecate tiles, onyx bookends, musical instruments, carved animal sculptures, and more. Roaming this area of the tower are the owner's many friendly dogs that add to the rustic charm of the location. You can also get a workout pumping a player piano while listening to old-time tunes. While I was there, the wind was gusting. It was a bit chilly and I wished I had a better coat when I reached the top. The owner says this is atypical though, and that it is warm and sunny most days. The proprietor, Ben Schultz, has many colorful stories on East County's history, culture, and colorful characters, having operated the site for many years. Boulder Park at the Desert View Tower was created in 1933 by an unemployed engineer, Merle Ratcliffe, who was out of work during the Great Depression. He sculpted reptiles and fanciful animals out of the huge stone boulders. I didn't get a chance to tour these, which will be an adventure for another time.
We'll end our show this holiday weekend, to put you in the holiday spirit, with the music of Sleigh Ride by the U.S. Air Force Band. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Kevin McLeod, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.